Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And welcome again to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. So happy to get to be here with you today. Two brilliant Catholic women today on the show. I think you're really going to enjoy these 2 hours and hopefully very, very helpful hours for you. This hour, we talk about divorce. Our topic, Catholic, divorced, now what? From the author of that very same book, Lisa Duffy. Lisa is a Catholic author, speaker, and divorce recovery expert. And if you have questions about being Catholic and being divorced, we'd be very happy to take those. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. Lisa has more than 20 years of personal experience helping people rebuild their lives after divorce. She's the author, in addition to the book that I mentioned, Divorced Catholic, Now What? She's the author of A Road to Healing, Daily Reflections for Divorced Catholics, and The Catholic Guide to Dating After Divorce. You hear her on all kinds of places like, EWTN Radio or all over, and we're very, very pleased to welcome her. Lisa Duffy, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Great to be here, and thank you for asking me.
Well, you know, it's... We Catholics are no different that I don't know if no different is the truth, but we're not very different from the rest of the culture. And it's pretty much been a hard few decades for marriage. You know, maybe the last 5 or 6 decades have been hard on marriage. So there's lots of people that have a need for to be able to talk about divorce. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, it just breaks my heart to see the beauty of marriage lost in, you know, a lot of these social battles that we're having. Not just the beauty, but the meaning, the purpose of that, you know, wonderful relationship is just kind of trampled on and, you know, made to look as if it's just, you know, nothing. And, you know, we see this happening not only in with the gender struggles and things and, you know, those kind of issues, but also, you know, with just the generation of divorce that's handed down and all the children that their parents, you know, split up and they really don't understand what the purpose of marriage is. They don't know how to be married. They never had a great example. And so it just marriage is kind of just fading into the background, and it's really sad.
Well, I hadn't thought about that right immediately. That didn't come to mind, but you're right. We have whole generations now who have no training in marriage, so they come into marriage without having seen very many successful marriages in their youth.
That's right. I don't remember which kid told me, but one of my kids told me that only 2 of their friends' parents have never been divorced. And so that says something. I think that, you know, I was trying to say before we got on the air that I think that this show, Catholic Answers Live and other shows like it, that talk about these hot button issues and these very sensitive topics are so important because it gets a conversation going and it helps especially Catholics who may be kind of hiding in the shadows because they're feeling embarrassed and they don't want to show their face at church. It helps to bring them out in the open, and we really need to talk about these things and the suffering and what we can do to stay close to our faith and all those things.
Lisa, you've been through this. You went through a divorce. You were the unwilling party to a divorce a few decades ago. Do you want to share a little bit about what you went through?
Sure. Well, I'm a Southern California native, so I was going through this out there. I married when I was 26, and when I was 30, my spouse left. It was a a very, it was something I definitely did not want to happen. I asked her for reconciliation. I fought for the marriage, but the no-fault divorce laws out there just ensure that if one party wants it, it's a done deal. And by the time this had happened, I had lost 3 children in miscarriage, and I had had a pretty invasive surgery to fix the problem, but it ended up sterilizing me. So I had a less than 1% chance of ever being able to conceive children. It was a very hopeless scenario because I was 30 years old. I was divorced. I was without children, without the hope of having children, and Catholic. So it's not a great set of circumstances to start the decade of your 30s with when, you know. But I kind of went forth. I tried to find support in the Catholic Church, and I just think at that point the church was slow to realize that there's this whole, you know, wave of people coming, you know, coming through that are divorced and need support. I just don't think it was on the radar yet because I didn't find anything. And so I went the way of the world a little while. It was unfortunate. I made a lot of mistakes. But I finally found a couple of years later that the only healing I would ever get is in my faith, through the sacraments, through repairing my relationship with Christ. I mean, I had never stopped going to church. I always went to Mass, but it was more obligatory than anything. And so once I, you know, reached out and asked God for the grace to change my life, and I made a great general confession, things started to turn around. I went through the annulment process. In 1997, I was granted an annulment. And then in 1999, I met the man who I'm married to today, Jim Duffy. He has just been an amazing husband. We just celebrated 17 years of marriage in June. And despite what the doctor said, we have 3 beautiful, healthy children.
That's beautiful. I'm so happy to hear that. That is just such a beautiful story. And that's, I do think that's a lot of the sense of hopelessness that may come, the sense maybe even that Jesus is not there to heal after divorce and that, but there to accuse, you know, to be the accuser or to be angry at us or something like that. It can leave that sense of hopelessness, but there is hope. I mean, when you tell your story, that's not a moment where you say, wow, that's just endless open, you know, possibilities for you to be able to have what you wanted, which was marriage and children. It all seemed closed off, but it wasn't closed off.
That's right. And I think that we as Catholics who find ourselves in these situations, we need to leave the door open to God, as bitter as we may be, because I can guarantee you pretty much every Catholic who didn't want to be divorced has a really hard time trying to reconcile being both divorced and Catholic. It's just it's the most unimaginable thing they could ever think of happening. And it can throw you into a faith crisis. But God is always there, and God's mercy is greater than anything. And we need to remember that divorce, the label of divorce, does not define who we are. It doesn't take away the fact that we are children of God, that we have these gifts and talents that we were born with, and we have a purpose that we're meant to fulfill. And God still wants us to do that despite what's happened. And he's going to be there to help us. And so that's why I'd like to talk about what happened to me, because I want people to know that there is hope out there.
Lisa Duffy, the author of Divorced Catholic, Now What?, is our guest this hour. We're talking about divorce. We're talking about healing after divorce. Maybe you're feeling stuck and you don't know how to heal after divorce, or you are not quite sure how your situation fits into the life of the church. One thing we can assure you of is it does fit into the life of the church. Christ Church is for everyone. It's definitely for you. If you'd like to talk about your healing process, if you'd like to talk about the difficulties of where you are following your divorce, or maybe you feel like you're approaching divorce, Lisa Duffy is here to help. This is Catholic Answers. Our number, 888-318-7884. And we'll be right back with more right after this.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
It's October, and as we head to the end of the year, Catholic Answers is kicking off its annual winter sale in its newly redesigned online shop with great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s that we carry. With great new releases on church history, scripture, Bible prophecy, and the saints, the shop at Catholic.com is once again your go-to place for solid Catholic resources with a store-wide discount to boot. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off the hundreds of great Catholic resources we have in our online store from now till the end of the year. To get those discounts, just go to shop.catholic.com. That's shop.catholic.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 11, a disciple asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So Jesus taught him the perfect prayer, what has come to be known as the Lord's Prayer, or as Catholics like to say, the Our Father. In Matthew's Gospel, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, Amen," was added later for liturgical reasons, but was not a part of the original text, as people later assumed that it was. The Church actually stopped using that last part until the liturgical reforms of Vatican II, when it reintroduced it. Many of us grew up thinking that it was the Protestant way, but it is actually a Catholic addition that predates Protestantism by quite some time. This prayer of Jesus is usually the first prayer that Catholics learn. At the close of our lives, may it also be on our lips. But deliver us from evil. Amen. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Are you Catholic and divorced? This hour is for you. Or if you need some information about divorce for a relative or a friend, or you'd like to be helpful, 888-31-TRUTH is our number, 888-318-7884. I suppose our guest is Lisa Duffy, the author of the book Divorced Catholic, Now What? Lisa, I suppose the temptation for, for all of us in certain situations is to kind of feel like, it's time for me to move away from the church. I'm not good enough at this moment, and divorce must really do that to people, like be a kind of temptation in a sense, or to push away from the church. And you're saying, do just the opposite. Come closer. God has an answer for you.
Yes, that's a great point, Cy. And I think, you know, I've heard more people who go through a divorce say that they automatically assumed they couldn't come to church, that they weren't welcome, that either they were, you know, I think people don't understand what excommunication is, but a lot of people think that they're excommunicated.
Oh, yeah.
And others are just too ashamed. You know, it's really tough to go to church and show your face as a divorced Catholic. It takes a lot of courage to do that. But you're right. I like to tell people that the opposite is what you need. You need to be at church. You need to be connected to your family, to your family in Christ, because that's where your support is. You know, we've come a long way in support for divorced Catholics. And I know that you frequently have Rose Sweet on the show. She's a friend of mine, and she's just, you know, knocking them dead, trying to reach out to people just like I am. You know, I can say this with great confidence because I tried it the world's way. I tried to do what I was encouraged to do in the name of healing, and I just found myself more hurt and more agonizing, than when I started out. It's not the way to heal. And what I mean by, you know, that way is just, you know, it's a self-indulgent lifestyle. Anything that you can surround yourself and indulge yourself in to make yourself feel better is really what I'm talking about. I like to call it the culture of divorce. But staying with Christ, that's where the healing is.
Lisa Duffy, an author, speaker, and divorce recovery expert for Catholics all over the country, is our guest this hour. 888-31-TRUTH is our number, and our lines are all lit up. Lisa, so how about we go to some calls?
Great.
David in Modesto, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. You are on with Lisa Duffy. Your question, please.
Hi. Can you hear me?
We can, yeah.
Okay. My question was, when is it acceptable to proceed with a divorce if you're in a relationship that is abusive? I believe that is my situation, and I'm a practicing Catholic, and I struggle with it, trying to figure out, you know, what is the right thing to do. I know in my gut, in my heart, that the relationship that I'm in is unhealthy, abusive, and I just don't know whether to, you know, separate and, or to stay in it and be unhappy and unhealthy.
All right. Lisa?
I am so sorry to hear about this. And I can hear in your voice the suffering. And I just, if you don't mind, would like to ask you just a couple questions. I don't know if the abuse might be physical or emotional, or maybe it's substance abuse, all of which are extremely unhealthy. Have you talked to your spouse about your feelings and asked her to stop? And if so, does she refuse to stop, or what does she say about it?
The type of behavior is not substance abuse. Neither one of us have that problem. It is verbal, physical, and to the point where, I mean, I really can't. I mean, there's one thing when you call someone a jerk or something. But I mean, it goes way, way, way beyond those types of comments. It's almost insulting.
All right, David, let Lisa respond.
Well, I am very sorry to hear this. I think what I would do is I would definitely take if your spouse is unwilling to change, if you have brought this to her and said, look, this is terribly hurtful to me, and you're really putting a strain on our marriage, and I think we need to seek counseling. If she is not willing to seek counseling, if she is unwilling to change her behavior, then I would go to a priest, your local priest, and I would talk to him. And if he sees that a separation should take place, he will petition the bishop, which is necessary, and then you can take it from there. As far as divorce goes, I would set that aside for right now, because a lot of times when there is a separation, the abusing spouse gets a wake-up call. And, I don't know.
Whoops, I think we... Oh, sorry. I cut you off there for a quick second, Lisa. But you were saying the abusing spouse gets a wake-up call?
Yeah. A lot of times the abusing spouse will get a wake-up call if the spouse is being abused, says, I can't do this anymore, and leaves and files for a separation, not a divorce. So, a lot of prayer should be involved here. A lot of just making sure you go to your spouse and say, this is killing our marriage, and I need to know, what you see in the future. Are you going to get help? Will you go to counseling with me? Whatever. And then if she refuses, take it to a priest, talk to a priest about it, and then see what can happen then. I'm just so sorry that this is happening. I don't know how long you've been married either, but I know that people don't go to the altar hoping that these things will take place. So I will be praying for you too.
David, thank you for that call. I do. It puts me in the mind of your own situation again, though, Lisa. And I think we have to keep sharing these stories because they're so important that things may look hopeless. I mean, genuinely hopeless at times in our life, and they are not hopeless. That God will open a way if we'll stay close to Him as we, you know, take all those steps to be safe, to be respected, and all the things that you deserve. Or that are rightly yours, but still be open because God can enter these situations.
Yes, and I have heard stories of spouses who have changed. I've also heard of spouses who refuse to change, yeah. And that's an extremely unfortunate situation. But the goal is to repair the marriage. And so when you face a situation like this, you have to step very carefully and very slowly. And very methodically, because if there is a chance that things can change, you want to keep that ground fertile for that change.
We go now to Joanne in San Francisco, California, listening on EWTN. Joanne, your question for Lisa Duffy.
Well, this is the question I have is I was actually in my car and I was flipping the channels and I heard your story, and it was a beautiful story, and I'm really happy for you and the book that you wrote. I'll have to pick it up and read it. But I didn't have that same result actually with the Catholic Church, and my brief story is 24 years ago, I found myself in the midst of a divorce. And at the time, let's say the time of the crisis of this whole process of my husband and I getting a divorce and separated and everything, it was just a bad time. I was actually pregnant with our second child when he left and had an affair and didn't want to be a parent anymore. And anyway, long story short, and I was devastated. And at that time, even after we got the divorce, my parents, who were, you know, Irish, Italian Catholics, and, you know, you need to get an annulment so you can do all these things. It was so hard, so hurtful, so fresh. I couldn't. Later on, I did remarry and had a son, and my parents were older. My father had passed away, and it was something that my mom always wanted, and it was something that as I was raising my children and having them go through the sacraments, is something that I needed to go through. So I decided to reach out to the Catholic Church and to the Archdiocese that I was in at the time, or now, and went through the annulment proceedings.
Joanne, I really do hate to interrupt you, yeah. But we're just about to come to the break. So
okay, so my question is, how do you resolve in your own heart the inconsistencies when you don't get the annulment and you feel like you should have, and one priest says, yes, you can go to communion and you can receive the Eucharist, the other one doesn't, where the Archdiocese says, I'm very sorry, you should have received the annulment, but you weren't granted it. And
let's let Lisa take a shot at that. Joanna, that's all clear to you, Lisa?
That is. Wow, what a terrible mess to be in. So it sounds to me as if you right now are civilly remarried without the annulment. Would that be correct? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so sorry for this mess. I think, first of all, it's very difficult for me to know the fine details of your case. I would refrain from receiving sacraments, even if a priest told you that it would be okay, unless the priest knows all the fine details. I think what's important, because I'm not a canon lawyer and I can't speak to those issues with the tribunal, what I can say is I'll tell you when we're done.
Okay, fair enough. Let's take a quick break. And hang on there, Joanne, and we'll come right back after the break. And Lisa Duffy will be able to finish her answer to your question as we discuss being Catholic and being divorced today on Catholic Answers Live. 888 888- 31 Truth is our number. We'll be right back with more after this.
We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Get an insider's look at the latest information from EWTN. Sign up for Wings, EWTN's weekly email newsletter. Get the latest information about live events, special features, and guests. Connect with EWTN on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Just go to EWTN.com and click on the Wings link to sign up. Don't miss a minute of all that's happening at EWTN. Get your wings today.
This is apologist Tim Staples, and I'm here to tell you about the most exciting and innovative Catholic book in years. In today's world, people from countless perspectives pose challenges to our Catholic faith every day. In conversations, through the mass media, on the internet, and more on the infinite collection of social media platforms. There's no getting away from this daily onslaught. We as Catholics need to stand strong to be prepared to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we as believers are presented with every day. To that end, my good friend and apologist extraordinaire Jimmy Akin has come up with what will surely be a go-to resource for years to come, a daily defense. A daily defense takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically by scripture verses or by topic, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Joanne in San Francisco is on the line, and we are talking about divorce and being Catholic and divorced with a woman who is an expert in that area, Lisa Duffy, Catholic author, speaker, and divorce recovery expert, the author of several books on being Catholic and divorced, including Divorced, Catholic, Now What? Joanne's question had to do with having been denied an annulment, and also then and I imagine this is not too uncommon, getting mixed messages, one priest saying one thing, another saying another. And so how do you proceed in such a situation?
Well, Joanne, again, I'm very sorry to hear about all this. And I am not a canon lawyer. I cannot speak to the tribunal issues. But what I can tell you is if you have a good relationship with God, I would pray to him daily and ask him, what is the takeaway in all this, Lord? What are you asking me to learn? What benefit can I draw from this situation that seems so difficult and so confusing? And I offer that to you, Joanne, because during my divorce and beyond, life continuously throws fastballs at us. I've had to say to God, I don't understand what you are doing here, and it looks horrible from my end. And I need to know, since I can't control anything, what it is you want me to learn from this. Just let me know, and I will learn that lesson, because I know it's going to serve me in the future. And that is a way to start discerning. Maybe there is another way. I don't know if you made an appeal to the first decision that you got. If you haven't, maybe that's a way you can, do that. But the other thing I wanted to mention is it's really important to understand that not being able to receive communion if you are a civilly remarried Catholic is supposed to be medicinal. It's not supposed to be it's not supposed to make you feel like a second-class citizen. And why do I say that? Because anybody, me as a married woman, the priest who said Mass on Sunday, any of us Catholics, if we are not in a state of grace, we are not allowed to receive communion. So it's not just a civilly remarried Catholic. It's for all of us. And it's for, if I went out and committed a mortal sin, not being able to receive communion is supposed to draw me to the confessional or draw me to a priest who can counsel me on my situation or something like that, to find a way to get you reconnected with the sacraments. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, over the years, and after the denial and everything, and I went back to the Archdiocese and had that discussion, and I did. I prayed about it. And I will say that out of challenging things, including this, it brought me closer to the Lord. It still does, because I literally have that conversation with the Lord every day. There's nothing I can do on this earth. The situation, there's nothing I can do. I've done everything I possibly can do, and only hope and pray that the Lord, through my prayer and through my conversation with Him, understand where I'm coming from. And, you know, at the end, you know, like I was telling the woman, I really wasn't up for the conversation on the phone, but she said, maybe you can help somebody. And it's through challenging times, reaching out to the Lord is what has made all the difference in the world. And I trust in that more than anything. And I'm come to that conversation with Him with an open heart. And I agree with you. And I thank you. I wanted to hear what you had to say, because I do ask people about it. Okay, what would you do? That's what I am doing and continue to do. And thank you for that. And all we can do is share our heart with the Lord. And I have the faith that He's a loving and merciful God. And it's not about other people and being a second class citizen, because I know I've done everything in my power to do the best that I can. And that's all we all can ask each other to do, is the best that we can.
Joanne, I think you have helped somebody. I'm sure many people. Lisa, your comment?
I was just going to say, I wish there were, you know, the time necessary to understand the nuances of your situation. I wish it that we had more time to go into that. But I count on my prayers for you. I will pray that there is a resolution, you know, upcoming for you.
Joanne, thank you very, very much for that call. Lisa Duffy is our guest. Lisa is the author of Divorced Catholic Now What? And other books on healing from divorce. As a Catholic, a divorced Catholic herself who once felt she was in a hopeless situation and found that the Lord opened doors along the way. 888-318-7884, our number. 888-318-7884. We go now to Marlene in Thornton, Colorado, listening on the iCatholic Radio app. Marlene, your question for Lisa Duffy.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for taking my call. My actual question is a lot like the ladies before, I think. My annulment, I got married at the age of 18. My husband and I were married for 18 years. And then at that time, I guess I like to say he fired me and moved on. I've been divorced now for 17 years. And about 3 years ago, I finally applied for the annulment, which was declined. And up until that point, I did date occasionally, nothing that I was ever serious about or anybody. But now that I know that my marriage was declined, and once you receive that paperwork from the church that says in their eyes you're still married, it's kind of eye-opening. Mm-hmm. And so I don't date now. But it's very difficult to think of growing old by myself.
Sure. Marlene, do you mind if I ask why it was declined? Because usually the way the canon lawyers say it is they couldn't find enough evidence that it was not a valid marriage to begin with. So,
that might be. He wouldn't cooperate. So all they had was my side of it. I mean, we do have two children, and in fact, my son is a Catholic priest.
Oh, beautiful.
And my husband, when he left the church, and about the only reason he gave me when he left was that, you know, our families are different. He said, you know, yours would never get up on a Sunday and miss Mass, where mine would get up and go fishing and not even think about missing Mass, which was kind of strange after 18 years of marriage.
Yes, yes. And so you're wondering just what to do from here on out? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I am. I mean, I like I said, I don't want to be alone for the rest of my life. I pray daily that he'll come back. I've asked him many times. He got married. He got divorced again. And I don't know. I mean, I try to make myself present to him occasionally when I can, you know, to let him know I still care, that the door's always open for me. But the rest of the world doesn't understand annulments, you know, or the fact that, so your annulment wasn't
right.
Approved. Move on. You know, if for the rest of the world to understand the position that I'm in, I'm stuck.
Yes, and I agree, and I'm sorry for any poor treatment that you get because of it. But I do have to say, in my estimation, you're living a very courageous life. Because so few people choose to remain faithful to their vows when, you know, regardless of what's happened. And I believe that God will bless you for being that courageous and for being that faithful. You know, the future can hold anything. I don't know if you have filed an appeal on your decision. It's entirely possible to do that and have it reconsidered. But also, you know, God still has great things in store for you. And I guess it comes down to, you know, asking him, what do you want from me now? If for the foreseeable future, if this is my life, then tell me what now? Where will you lead me so I can continue to A, fulfill my purpose, and B, find happiness? Because God does not want us to be suffering all of our lives. And, you know, maybe an appeal will bring something, but also maybe he's got something incredible waiting for you in some other fashion. I don't know, but what I do know is that he doesn't want you to continually suffer. You've done an amazing job with your family, and you have a beautiful Catholic priest as a son. It speaks volumes to people who know you and to me. And so I would proceed in that way. And I know that, you know, maybe that just asking you to kind of discern isn't very satisfying, because I remember, I mean, I'll never forget the loneliness and the sadness during that 7 years that I was divorced and alone, and being told to just get over it. I understand it very well. But I also understand the joy that comes when a new door is opened and you know it was because you were faithful and because God is blessing you. So I just encourage you to, you know, don't get too discouraged, and you know, follow that path of discernment, asking God, what do you want from me now?
Marlene, I have to say thank you for that call. We have to move because we have to take a quick break. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. We're talking divorce and healing for Catholics today on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more Lisa Duffy after this on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed a list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answers' brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I met my husband in my first year of college. We both came from strong Catholic families and wanted lots of children. After 3 years of marriage and still not pregnant, we felt our dream of a big family slipping away. My sister encouraged us to visit our local Catholic store and get a novena to St. Gerard. When we arrived, we were unsure about our need, but the staff was kind and helpful. Wow, what an incredible Catholic store! They encouraged us to pray and trust in God's providence. One worker told us stories of other couples, just like us, who were desperate to start a family. 4 years and two children later, we have been back to that incredible Catholic store for baby, baptism, and toddler gifts. God bless the staff at that incredible Catholic store. An incredible Catholic store in your area can be found at incrediblecatholicstore.com. The Incredible Catholic Store, transforming the world one soul at a time.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Next hour, Dr. Holly Ordway will be here for the entire hour to talk about symbols in the Catholic, among Christians. How do we use symbols? Why do we have all of these symbols? What are they for? What are they meant to do? Couldn't we just have a purely intellectual religion without all this symbolic stuff? Well, we'll talk with Dr. Ordway about that next hour. This hour, we're talking divorce, what it is to be Catholic and divorce. Lisa Duffy is an expert in this area, both because of her divorce and her recovery from that divorce, and also because she has devoted herself to helping people navigate these waters. If you'd like to know more about Lisa Duffy, you can go to lisaduffy.com, and she also does individual coaching. Am I right about that? You do individual coaching to help people through these situations, Lisa?
I do. And it's very effective when you can be one-on-one. And it's not counseling or therapy. It's helping people move past and find a productive future, find their direction in life. So, yes.
888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. We go now to Anonymous here in Fallbrook, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Anonymous, your question for Lisa Duffy.
Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
We can, yes. We're happy to take your call.
So my current husband and I have been married for over 25 years. We both were married previously in the Catholic Church. We have both received annulment, very delayed, mine about 7 or 8 years ago and his about 2 years ago. And my question is, without providing a lot of detail, my question is, do we need to continue living as brother and sister until our marriage is blessed, or are we both in the quote-unquote clear because we both have annulment?
That is a great question. And I wish I had gone for that canonical
degree.
Degree. Yeah. And I am going to be upfront. I'm not the best person to answer this question, but I will give you my best answer, which is, first of all, so you would be civilly remarried right now, right?
That's right. Yes.
Okay. So yes, I know the waiting is the hardest part, but I would definitely wait. So you can continue to receive communion. I would live as brother and sister. And hopefully you can have that marriage blessed very soon. Is that possible?
Well, I'm waiting because when I asked, he hesitated a long, 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 long time. I went 7 years without receiving the sacrament. And finally I told him I'm going to go back to the sacrament. So I'm going to confession today. And he sat right down and filled out his annulment paperwork because he knew what that meant, mm-hmm. to live as brother and sister, that I had made that decision. So one of the things that was holding him back from doing the annulment in the first place was the fact that I was, he's not a practicing Catholic at this moment. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that was holding him back was that he didn't want to be, in his mind, manipulated to return to the practice of the faith. And I assured him at the time, this is not a manipulation. This is the reasons why I want the annulment. And so I've been waiting a long time now to even approach the subject of having our marriage blessed. What would that entail?
It's actually quite simple. You would just need to go to the priest, meet with the priest, and he would discuss with you both situations. He would probably look at your decrees of nullity, and so he could affirm that, and then set a date and a time. I don't think that there would be anything else standing in your way. So he might want to speak a little bit more with your husband since he's not a practicing Catholic, and he may want him to go to confession. I don't know. But it shouldn't be much more than that.
Okay, Anonymous?
All right. Very good. Thank you very much for the information.
Thank you for your call. 888-31-TRUTH, our number, 888-318-7884. We're talking about healing. When you are Catholic and you are divorced, with Lisa Duffy. And Lisa, we go now to Al in Woodland Hills, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Al, your question for Lisa Duffy.
Yes, good afternoon. So my fiance and I, fiance because we were planning to get married, she is, we're both Catholic. She comes from, I've never been married before. She got a divorce. Really nasty divorce. They all are, right? But any event, yeah. She's healing from it. Okay. So, like many people, we all want to write our future and make that perfect. But with the circumstances of events, doesn't always go as planned. So, she doesn't want to repeat the divorce. I think nobody gets married with intent of getting divorced. So, especially with annulment and with Catholicism, you only allow so many of these. So, our goal, we've come to a decision where we're trying to live together first under the same roof, abstain from sexual relation, which is, I know you're probably thinking, very hard to do, but we're also very devout, you know, Christians as Catholics. So the point is, we want to know if it's probably against Catholicism where you don't do this, but we want to kind of live together first and then get married. In other words, live 5 years, any BS that's going to come out or any trial and tribulation is going to come out as a couple because we're, you know, living together. I feel it would come out under the same roof, whereas if we're in a scenario where we are a couple but we're dating, not living in the same roof. It's different dynamics.
All right, Al, that's a very clear question. Let's give Lisa a chance to address it.
Al, it is a great question. It deserves far more of an answer than I can give you just because we're short on time. I can't in good conscience recommend anyone living together before marriage, even if you feel that you would be strong enough to, morally strong enough to not sleep together. I think that, A, the temptation is far too great, and that would, that could pose some really serious problems for you. But the other thing is, if you could think about marriage this way, because I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to work out the kinks and work out the problem scenarios before you say I do. But you know what? Marriage is a gift. And two people, the woman and the man, they are a gift to each other, which means that when we love each other and when we commit ourselves to each other, we commit everything. We commit our happiness, our joys, our fertility, and our brokenness. And I, you know, I have been remarried for 17 years, and I can tell you there's no perfect marriage out there. It's just there isn't one. Why? Because we're all broken to some degree. We all have our faults and our failings. We're all sinners. So, you know, my husband and I have had our ups and downs for sure, just like any other married couple, but it's a gift. It's so important to go through these things together, committed to each other. That's how you know it's never going to end. That's how you know he's always going to be there. She's always going to be there because he committed to me. And so, you know, while I'm going to try, I'm going to do my best to make him happy, and I'm going to do my best to overcome my flaws and sins. I know that he accepts me. He's not going to walk out the door, or 5 years later, he's not going to say, no, I didn't sign up for this. Marriage is a beautiful gift, and I encourage you to talk about this with your fiance and talk about, you know, the things that you're afraid of, you know, any nastiness or any problems that might come up, that, you know, when you work through these things together, it just makes your marriage richer and stronger. I would never trade what I have now with my husband for what we had when we first started out, because it's so much better. And it is specifically because of all the hard times we've been through together and learning how to love each other despite our sinfulness. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes perfect sense, and that's why, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. So the argument now becomes, well, we're trying to both find that person representing the person that would stay through the thick of thin and trial and tribulation. We both understand, as we're both, because we have other relationships behind our belt, that problems are going to exist. What we're looking for is, are you going to stand by my side when those problems exist? Right now, we just have a voice. We have a commitment. We don't have a verb, but we don't have an action. The only way action is going to be confirming itself is when the future pans out. Well, why don't we have it panned out under their living arrangements? Because if it guess what? If it didn't fly, then we'd become another divorce statistic, and we don't want to upset God and the courthouse and so forth. So we're going to do that. We're going to get that.
Al, may I just interject for a moment, and at least I'd like to get your take on this. It actually can't work that way because the commitment is a prerequisite for marriage to work. That is to say, it's the commitment and then the testing of the commitment that makes it possible for two people to stay together. If it's an experiment, eventually we drive each other up the wall, and the commitment has to be there. And also, I know you were getting at this too, Lisa, the fact that if we don't do it ourselves, we do it with Christ, and so to do it His way is essential.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, if it's just a test run for, you know, however long, then the option to leave is always there. So that means that when you are going through a tough time, when you can't stand the sight of each other and you just wish that she would go away, you can leave because you're not married. And then you miss the beauty of learning how to work through it. And it truly is a beautiful thing. It may not feel like it when you're in the thick of it, but when you come out on the other side, you walk through that fire and you're on the other side, it's beautiful. It's totally beautiful.
Maybe a book I might suggest is Dr. Greg Popcheck's book, When Divorce is Not an Option, just for exactly what you just said, Lisa, that when divorce is not an option, everything changes and really beautiful things can happen. I didn't want to imply that my wife ever drove me up the wall. I hope that didn't seem like that. Lisa Duffy, author of Divorced Catholic, Now What? And you can find her at lisaduffy.com. Thanks so much, Lisa, for being with us this hour.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Si.
Yeah, I think this is, when we talk about these things, these are particularly helpful hours, very practical and helpful, and I really appreciate that you took the time to do it with us. Next hour, Dr. Holly Ordway will be with us, and we will talk about symbols in the life of the Christian faith. What are all these symbols about, and do they matter? Do we need them? And what are they supposed to be doing for us? We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.